And welcome back to Coast, an amazing story. Len Kasten with us, of course. His latest works, of course, Dark Fleet, will come out next year. And we'll have him back as we talk about that amazing story, too. But let's take your calls as we talk about Project Serpo, the reptilians within the planet, and so much more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Len Kasten with us. Len, with Project Serpo, how do we know that these ETs, the Ebens, aren't trying to trick us? I mean, do we know that for sure?
They've given us so much information and so much science and technology, helped us to build our own, reverse engineer their craft, which they did, by the way, in 1953. So I don't think, how are they trying to trick us?
Okay.
Doesn't make sense. You see what I mean?
So they've been helpful.
Did you have a guest on that said something about a force out there that wants to steal our souls and he doesn't think they're going to win? Who was that guest? Do you know who that was?
Oh, gosh, that was a couple years ago. I don't remember.
Was that John Lash by any chance?
What was his name?
John Lash, L-A-S-H.
I don't think so. I don't recall that name.
Have you had anyone else on who talked about the Archons at all?
No. Well, now Linda might have.
Because that's what he was talking about. He was talking about the Archons.
I mean, sometimes in Linda's report, she's interviewed somebody, and they're within a tape that she would use.
I do discuss the Archons in my new book, so I just wanted to know that.
I'll check into that, though, Len. I'll get back to you on that one. So what do you think our biggest issue is right now? The reptilians on this planet?
Well, the reptilians have an alliance with the Nazis, and the Nazis are still around, so I would say it's both. The Nazis are on Mars, and they're on the moon, and the reptilians have been helping them for many, many years. So I think we have a problem with both.
What happens if we go back to the moon or go to Mars and see all this going on?
Well, we're already there. We have a colony on Mars, and we have one on the moon.
I mean,
we have a large colony on Mars. In 1964, we had a joint colony with the Russians, and it's still there.
But are you saying we're doing this in tandem with the Nazis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, geez.
We have been ever since World War II. We worked together. Our military worked with the Nazis. Look, we didn't really lose World War II in the true sense of the word. We defeated Hitler. Yes, we defeated Hitler, but we did not defeat the Nazis. That's an important point that has to be made because everyone assumes that the Nazis just went away. They did not. They have a huge colony on Mars and on the moon. And they have technology that we can't even dream of. They have incredible technology, including the ability to regenerate any part of the body in a matter of hours. They have the ability to go through space and time through jump gates and things like that. So, I mean, you know, it's a very complicated solar system.
Where did they do their work or their scientific work to get to the point where they're on the moon, they're on the Mars? I mean, did they do it in Germany or where did they end up going?
No, Germany was reduced to ashes. They did it in South America, they did it in Brazil, they did it in Argentina, and first and foremost, they created a huge colony under the ice in Antarctica. And that became their spaceport. And it was from Antarctica that they traveled throughout the solar system.
Why are so many government leaders going down there, by the way?
Well, that's the reason, right there. Because Nazi technology is incredible. And that's how they were able to settle and build a colony on Mars in 1965 and on the moon their first settlement on the moon was in 1942.
Jeez.
1942. That was way, way back.
There's always been discussions, too, that they had flying craft during World War II that they probably perfected even thereafter, huh?
They did, but they couldn't get them into the fight. They couldn't get them into combat because they they couldn't mount any guns on them because they had to rotate.
Uh-huh.
But once they got to Antarctica, they took care of that problem, and that's how they were able to beat us in Operation High Jump. Because Admiral Byrd had a huge fleet. He went down there with 14 ships, including an aircraft carrier. And the discs came out of the water, and before you knew what was happening, they had already shot down, sunk one of his ships and killed 68 Americans. By the way, that was an international fleet. That wasn't just an American fleet. And their orders were to destroy the Nazi base. That's why they went down there.
And it never happened, though.
Byrd came back with his tail between his legs and had to sit down in front of Congress and explain what happened. And after that, he was put into a mental institution. They didn't want him talking about it anymore.
They just drove him crazy, or they put him away.
Oh, they put him away. They put him away, of course.
The way to lock him up. Let's go to the phone.
He was a great American hero. I mean, it was not somebody they could just put away very easily.
You can't silence him like that. That's right.
Right. But by saying he was crazy, you know, that was the way they did it.
Let's go to Lisa in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Lisa.
Thank you. Hi, George.
Hi.
Okay, so I have a comment and then a question.
Okay.
The comment is, if they have this technology, then why don't they stop the ice shelves from melting? Because that's just going to have them found out a lot sooner than they probably are ready for. And my question is about the purpose of CERN.
CERN? Can you answer that, Len?
I'm sorry, what was the question? I didn't hear it.
The purpose of CERN, the Large Hadron Collider.
They wanted to create the God particle because they claimed they could create the God particle by getting it going around fast enough to actually create a whole different breakthrough. That was really their approach to quantum technology, which the Germans do have on Mars. They do have quantum technology on Mars, and they do have nanotechnology on Mars. And we could have all of that here if we arranged some sort of an agreement with them. We could have free energy, we could have anti-gravity, we could have all of that right here. But the military-industrial complex, our American military-industrial complex, is still tied in with the German scientists and technology people on Mars. I know it sounds strange, but it does. I'm convinced that's the case.
The scientists that we got during Operation Paperclip after the war.
That's right.
Do you think they were aware of what was still going on?
What do you mean? But I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I mean, they weren't part of this program, the space program. They were trying to develop our own. But do you think they knew how far the Nazis had advanced and just kept quiet about it?
Yeah, I think so, because that's how Wernher von Braun got to be the head of the Marshall Space Flight Agency. I mean, they took over our space flight program.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
all of them.
Von Braun was a murderer. He was in the SS. It was his rockets that killed thousands of people in London. So I mean, what was he doing as the head of our space program? And the only reason he was there was because of Alan Dulles, who was a known Nazi sympathizer.
And the head of the CIA, right?
That's correct. And his brother was Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, and they were both Nazi sympathizers. They had gone to Germany in 1933 to help finance Hitler to become the Chancellor of Germany. Their law firm, the New York law firm that they worked for, went to Germany in 1933 to arrange the financing for Adolf Hitler to become the Chancellor of Germany.
Well, and they even had U.S. banks helping to finance that.
They did. They did indeed.
Frightening.
And Prescott Bush, who was George Bush's grandfather, was also a Nazi sympathizer.
He was running a bank, wasn't he?
Yes, yes, he was. And Roosevelt shut him down, finally trading with the enemy, eventually. But for a while, he was involved in financing Nazi operations in Germany and here.
How did they all fall for that?
Well, you know, you have to understand how the power of the Nazi Party in America even before World War II. Some of the top industrialists in America, Henry Ford, and many others, were Nazi sympathizers and were already dealing with the Nazis financially, and some of the banks.
Well, did they think the Nazis were good people at the time?
Well, there was a German-American Bund here that was very widespread. There were thousands of adherents to that. I mean, we have to get to the bottom of the Nazi situation. We haven't gotten there yet. We defeated Hitler, but we did not defeat the Nazis. And that's the reason I wrote the new book.
Well, that's going to be interesting. How difficult was it for you to dig up some of the information that's in the new book?
You know, it really wasn't that hard once you start to dig into it, because of what happened in Antarctica. The American scientists and the German scientists worked together in Antarctica. The American aerospace companies and the German aerospace companies, they literally joined. They became one organization in Antarctica, and then Project Paperclip brought over the top scientists after that. And that's how von Braun got to be the head of the Marshall Space Flight Center.
Did you come across information that will be in Dark Fleet that just...
It's all in my book.
...appalled you?
What's that?
Did it just appall you, some stuff that you found and uncovered?
Well, you know, a lot of it did not surprise me, I have to be truthful, because I knew there was something wrong.
Right.
I knew that we hadn't really won World War II, because I knew that the Nazi influence, first of all, Hitler did escape, and I came across that. That was very clear to me after I did.
He went to South America, didn't he?
Yes, he ended up in Argentina. But he was obsolete at that point anyway, because the top German scientists didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. And they knew the botched World War II to begin with. He made so many mistakes that he caused them to lose the war, actually. Because he fashioned himself to be a general, which he was not.
No, his madness destroyed them.
He was a madman, and the Germans realized that he was leading them like the Pied Piper to disaster.
Right over the edge.
And all the intellectuals in Germany started an organization called the Kreisau Circle to oppose him, and ultimately to plan the Valkyrie to have him assassinated. But it didn't work, as we know from the movie.
That's right.
So, they were glad to get rid of him when he went to Argentina, because the German scientists knew that we were developing the atomic bomb, and they didn't want us to win. To develop it first.
Thank God we got it before they did.
Well, we got it before they did because we got a little help from some of their scientists, actually, and we were lucky. We lucked out.
Let's go to Jason in truck driving in Ohio for you. Hi, Jason. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing? Just
okay. Morning. Thank you.
When you all were speaking and you asked them if the Evens wanted or if the president was going to announce about the Evens and everything, it made me think of a question of, on their planet, are they one nation, one race, or different nations, different races? And if they are one nation, one race now, or evolved to it, had me wondering why the big push here about basically, you know, the New World Order with one government over the whole planet, and they're trying to get us to that point or evolve to that point to where then they would reveal themselves, since there's not going to be a bunch of different nations trying to compete over their technology.
What do you think end game is, Len? Go ahead.
That's never going to happen on this planet. We have too many civilizations here and too many different races, and we all get along fine. We can all get along. They only have one race and one civilization on their planet. They have a small civilization, a small population. It's only 650,000 of them. At least there was in 19 when we first went there in 1965. And they're all pretty much the same, so... It's a totally different situation. Totally different.
Len, knowing what you know, I mean, is it disturbing for you? I mean, do you sleep well? I mean, this is kind of shocking.
Well, that's the situation we're in, Len. Just trying to be realistic. That's all. Once you do the certain research and my intuition kicks in, I can connect the dots. I can see where it's all leading. And why should it disturb me? That is what's happening. That's what's going on.
Len Kasten with us, his work, A Secret Journey to Planet Serpo, Alien World Order. In next year, Dark Fleet comes out, the Nazi space armada. There have been some who have reported that the Nazis almost had space equipment during World War II. Were they that advanced at that time in the late 40s?
They were once they got to Antarctica, because that's where their space program began, was from Antarctica, because they were being helped by the reptilians. The reptilians made the deal with Hitler in 1933 in Germany, and they were the ones that brought them to Antarctica and got them set up there, and that's where the joint space program began, was in Antarctica. They called it Base 211, and they sent their first the first space flight to the moon in 1942. And from that point on, they started burrowing under the surface of the moon, and they started what now has become what they call the Lunar Operations Command. It's a huge facility. Their first building on the moon was in the shape of a swastika.
No way.
The building itself. That's well known by David Wilcock and by...
David knows that. That's true.
Yeah, David knows that, and also Corey Good talked about it because he saw it. But I think when he saw the building from the air, it wasn't in the space in the shape of a swastika. They'd already built on top of that.
They covered it up or something, didn't they?
They covered it up, and right now it's an 11-story underground building. They call it the Lunar Operations Command.
Next up, Andy is...
It's like the United Nations. It feels like a United Nations.
On the moon.
On the moon.
Andy in Santa Rosa, California. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, George, you know, you were spot on about not wanting to go to another planet.
I would not go.
Yeah, that's the right decision.
I think Laura Eisenhower made the right decision by not going, because according to what we've learned now, Mars is more or less a German planet at the moment. And there are thousands of slaves working there on Mars.
I would agree with you.
Right to turn that down.
I would agree with you there. You're saying stuff that is like so stimulating. Like, this Nazi platform. Yeah, we're not free from it. Back in 1889, Congress granted corporations the same constitutional freedoms and liberties as we the people. And that's how the fascism works here uniquely with our government, because we the people are the government.
It could be out of control. Andy, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more with Len Kasten, our final segment just ahead on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Len Kasten as we talk about Project Serpo and also the reptilians. And Len, once again, where can people get your books?
All my books are available on Amazon. By the way, I understand you're going to have Frank Chili on there. Is that true?
I had Frank on Beyond Belief, our TV show, and
he's an amazing speaker.
Oh, he really is.
He made the statement in his video on his YouTube that the military has technology, and by the way, that jointly with the Germans, by the way, that is 1,000 years ahead of what they've given us.
Gosh. Because it was handed to us, right?
Yes, it was handed as well. It was given to the Germans, actually. But we had a joint program in Antarctica with the Germans, so we picked up a lot of it there. But anyway, he's amazing. I think you're going to be amazed by what he says.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Okay, let's take final calls for you, Len. Let's go to Tom in the Bronx. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say that I had ran into a pilot, airplane pilot for the airline, and I asked him about UFOs, if he'd ever seen any. And he told me that during World War II, he was a pilot for the U.S. Air Force in the Pacific, and they'd be flying along, and all of a sudden they'd see the discs come near them, and he told me that they used to shoot them down. I'm quoting him now.
Wow.
That they'd actually shoot them down. If that's true, there must be a lot of wreckage of these things in the ocean.
Did you come across anything like that, Len?
Well, I think he's talking about the Foo Fighters,
mm-hmm.
which became well known in World War II, yes. And but I didn't know that they had shot any down. I'm surprised that they would be able to do that.
We saw them, we witnessed them, but I never heard of shooting them down either.
They might have shot some of us down.
Exactly.
They had the Kugelblitz of an amazing saucer.
There were a lot of UFO reports during the Vietnam War. Had you heard anything about those?
Yeah, I've heard some things about that. Yes, they were there. The UFOs were there, probably the reptilians. I think any other UFOs that would be coming into our airspace from other star systems would be friendly, but the ones we have to worry about, and the ones that are putting down the chemtrails, are the reptilians. So those are the guys that we're having the most trouble with.
They're the ones that want to control us, right?
Well, yeah, and they do actually. They actually do control us. Otherwise, we would have amazing technology, which we don't have.
Do they have tails like alligators?
Well, according to some of the speakers, yes, some of them do. So-called royal class, they're huge. They're about 8 feet, 9 feet tall. Incredibly large, muscular, and some of them have tails, yeah.
Back to the calls. We go to Dan, truck driving in Illinois. Hey, Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I had a couple questions about high jump. Didn't Nimitz have some involvement with that? And also, didn't they also kind of put Forrestal away for what he said about it afterwards?
They may have put Forrestal away. Didn't he commit suicide or something?
Well, they say he committed suicide, but he was pushed out. He was pushed out of the window. He was. They had to get rid of Forrestal.
Involuntary suicide.
He was Secretary of the Navy, and when Admiral Byrd came back and started telling Congress about what happened to them in Antarctica, Forrestal was in trouble.
And did anything happen to Admiral Nimitz?
I think Admiral Nimitz was an advisor on the entire high jump program. He worked with the original planning of Operation High Jump before they left. That's all I know about that.
Paul in Boston, take it away, Paul. Go ahead.
All right, try. Just makes you don't want to go to sleep at night anymore.
I know it.
Listen, where does Casey, the ex-head of the CIA who died in the mid-80s, come into this?
William Casey?
Yeah. And the other question is, there's a alleged race of frog-type amphibians that live underneath the Arctic Circle, and they got into a group of Russian Spetsnaz divers, and they tried to capture the frogmen, and the frogmen cleaned house on them. They killed 11 Russians.
I never heard of that one. Have you, Len?
I heard something about it through Kerry. I think Kerry Cassidy talked about it. I don't have all the details, but I do recall her saying something about that.
And William Casey, the late CIA director, did he have any involvement in any of this? Do you know?
Casey goes way back. Are you talking about the CIA guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Did he have any involvement with what?
With the SERPO or UFOs or anything like that?
Not that I know of, but I wouldn't be surprised because the CIA was involved in all of it.
It's amazing how they were able to try to keep it so quiet for so long, and then bang,
out it comes. I know, they succeeded. They succeeded very well. They did. So you have to give them credit for that.
Wayne in Tacoma. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Len.
I'm sorry.
I stepped on you there. Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Go ahead, Wayno. Good to have you with us.
Good evening, gentlemen, Sir George and guest.
I'm
wanting to, make a short statement and have a question for you. I've read an awful lot about all of this, including the Montauk Project, and The Montauk Project seemed to involve time travel, and they claim that the reason that it was shut down in the books is that they were taking people off the street of New York, like street people, and sending them to Mars. And
they were sending them. They were sending them to the future and the past, and because they did have time travel, and a lot of them did not never came back.
Okay. Well, that covers.
By the way, that was also the Germans were involved in that and Montauk.
Jeez, involved in all that. Okay, Wayne. Anything else?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you and your comments. Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina, is with us now. Hey, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah. By the way, about 40 some years ago, I went to a meeting. Two guys broke in up at Montauk and took pictures of Camp Arrowhead signs and stuff in the brush, and they saw a huge cable from Con Ed going underground. And those participants, they had young children's brains work better for that or something, and they're getting ready to write a book, some of the participants. I hadn't heard Montauk in 40 years. The reason I'm calling, Lynn, I want to know this. There's a gentleman that would go in a river last few years down in Texas, and when he's in the river, these space people communicate to him, and he's gone to professors and places, and it scares them, but he's saying that there's, and I got on the computer, and it's there. 2012, NASA took a picture of the pyramid, and the sand had blown off the base, and you can see the date, 2023, I think it is, some July something or whatever. And he was told that the people that built the pyramid are told him they are coming back, and they'll arrive that date, and they're here to steal our energy, and then you were talking about souls, people getting souls, and that kind of bothered me. That sounded like what. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, the only involvement with souls has to do with the archons. The archons would like to take our souls, but they can't. And there's a lot of information about the archons that are now coming out. They're a very strange race of extraterrestrials. They're part physical and part astral,
mm-hmm.
And they are the ones we're having the most trouble with right now, because they are a reptilian race basically, but they're not the same reptilians as the ones that we're dealing with here. They're like a related race. They're like cousins, but. That's a whole other subject, the archons.
And Len, before the break, you were talking about, which is really a severe problem, so many people on this planet disappearing. I mean, they're just gone. Nobody knows where they are.
I know. That was in the book 411, Missing 411.
By David Politis.
David Politis, absolutely. And, I think the numbers are something like 1 million people a year all over the planet.
Yeah, just gone, vanished, poof.
They're gone, absolutely, yeah.
What are they doing with these people?
Well, it's just like the book The Time Machine, where they were taken underground and they were used as food for the underground race. It's
food.
The same story.
To serve man.
The reptilians living under the earth do eat human flesh, and they drink human blood. So it's the same as the Time Machine story.
Well, Dr. David Jacobs says that their visitations here are not friendly. He could be right.
Which visitations was he talking about?
Just general UFO visitations. He believes.
Well, the reptilians certainly are not friendly.
No,
that, for sure.
Not at all.
But any other? There are a lot of other races out there that are trying to help us, and sometimes they do appear in our skies, and. We should be welcoming those, but it's the reptilians that are doing the chemtrails. So those are the guys we're having the problems with.
All right, let's go to James in Lafayette, Louisiana, first-time caller. Hey, James, go ahead.
All right. I am glad you have Mr. Carriston on, because I wanted to ask if his book, The Secret Journey to Planet Serpo, is redacted. I'll buy it if it's not redacted.
And what do you mean by redacted?
Redacted, like Project Blue Book was redacted, where some of the stuff was blacked out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. I get what you're saying. No, you haven't redacted anything, Len.
No, there's no redactions in my book, but of course, a lot of information I was not able to get, but whatever I could get is in the book.
And when you were writing all these books that you've written, which one startled you the most when you were putting it together?
This last one, for sure.
The one that's coming out?
I had no idea about the technology that the Germans have on Mars. That is the most amazing story of all time, because they have quantum technology, they have quantum physics, they have quantum mechanics, and they can cure any ailment, any disease of any. It's amazing what technology they have, and that could be ours. That could be ours, but they're not going to give it to us.
No, they really aren't. Let's go to John, Lorain, Ohio. Hi, John. Let's get you in.
Well, I think this idea that the Nazis have infiltrated the United States is sort of reversed. There's some truth to that, but I think it's the other way around. As you've been talking, the CIA was controlled by Alan Dulles, a pro-Nazi himself, allied with the big Wall Street bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if you just check globalresearch.ca, you'll have a lot of exposure of that, but I believe the main motivation for this support by the big business in the United States and the big bankers was based on anti-communism and anti-Sovietism, and I think it's the cancer in our society that has brought about total militaristic imperialism of the United States against Korea, Vietnam, around the world, always based on in the name of anti-communism. And I think the only reason the United States went to war against Hitler is that he double-crossed his banker people in the United States and England and moved west before he moved against his main target, the Soviet Union, which was his assignment by the Western bankers.
Well, in his big...
He double-crossed Stalin also. He had a two-year agreement with Stalin not to...
That's right.
He double-crossed him. And invaded Russia. Stalin thought he was an ally.
And one of his big mistakes, of course, was going into Britain. He should have just stayed out of that. They probably would have let him take the other Baltic nations, but he kept going.
What do you mean going to England? You mean?
Yeah. He should have just backed out of
that. They lost that battle. They lost the Battle of Britain.
Yeah.
And but. I mean, his invasion of Russia was so unexpected that Stalin went into a deep, deep depression when he realized that Hitler had actually invaded Russia because he thought they were friends.
But that was his Waterloo. Wasn't that Hitler's Waterloo, basically?
Yes, it was. That's Stalingrad. Stalingrad was Hitler's Waterloo, absolutely. And they lost a million men. The German army lost a million men and about another million were taken prisoner. And that was the turnaround. That was the turnaround point in early 1943. After that, the Russians marched all the way to Berlin.
You're still working on refining your website, right? et-secrethistory.net.
I am, unfortunately. Yeah, it's under construction. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. That's Len Kasten, of course, his books, Secret Journey to Planet Serpo, Alien World Order, and one that's coming out. When next year do you think it'll be out, Dark
it'll
Fleet?
It'll be out in March, for sure. It'll be in the next catalog that they put out. And I'm just finishing the editing process right now.
All right, Len, you keep in touch with us, all right?
Absolutely.
Len Kasten, amazing story, truly amazing story that has a lot of teeth to it, to be sure. Well, stick with us all week long as we get going. It's now my birthday. We made the turn. So we'll pop up Tuesday and have a little brief celebration and carry on with our show for you and everything else. Couple little notes. We have a YouTube channel. It's free to subscribe. Go for it. Just go to YouTube and type in Coast to Coast AM Official, and you can subscribe that way. Or we've got a link for you at coasttocoastam.com, and take advantage of that. Anything that's free, grab it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.